Torah portion. This week's Torah portion is Vayetzi and covers Genesis 28:10 to 32, verse 3. In last week's Torah portion, Jacob had deceived his father and taken the blessing intended for his brother. Then, fearing for his life, he had to flee his parents' home, getting exactly the opposite that he sought in obtaining his brother's or his father's blessing. A reoccurring theme in this parasha is reaping what you sow. I want us to think about that. In chapter 28, Jacob has traveled a full day journey, and he has come to a certain place where he rests for the night. He has to use a stone for a pillow. Oh, that must have felt really good, don't you think? That night, he receives a vision from God of the angels ascending and descending on a staircase or a ladder stretching between the heaven and earth. I believe it is a representation of Messiah, who is our mediator, reconciling man to God. Yeshua affirmed this to himself in John chapter 1, verse 51. In the vision, the Lord tells Jacob that the land will be given to him and his descendants, who will be too numerous to count and spread out to the four corners of the earth. Jacob's offspring will be blessed, and the Lord will be with them. I think we should note that God chose Jacob not based on his works, hasn't had any yet, but simply because Adonai is gracious. Even after getting this blessing, Jacob tries to negotiate with God. He tells Adonai that if he does everything that he had promised, then Jacob would be loyal to him. He still has a long way to go from being Jacob the deceiver to becoming Israel who follows God. Adonai sometimes allows us to suffer the consequences of our foolishness, so that we might learn from our mistakes. It builds our character. It certainly helps build Jacob's. In chapter 29, Jacob reaches Haran and rests by a well. He encounters shepherds there, and he asks them if they know Laban. They respond yes and tell Jacob that Laban's daughter Rachel is approaching. Jacob, no doubt wanting to impress this beautiful maiden, goes to the well and removes the large, heavy stone that covers the well by himself and proceeds to water her father's sheep. He is then brought to their home to meet her father Laban and is invited to remain with them. After Jacob has been living and working there a month, Laban asks him what kind of wages he wants, and Jacob, who is in love with his daughter Rachel, and he asks for her hand in marriage. Laban agrees to give Rachel as his wife and for 7 years of labor. The years pass quickly and pleasantly. And finally, the big wedding day comes, and after much celebration and plenty of wine, Jacob takes his wife into his tent to consummate his marriage. It was the custom of that time for brides to wear a full veil. In the morning, when Jacob wakes up and sees his wife, he realizes that it's not Rachel, but her less attractive sister, Leah. Ooh, Jacob the trickster has been tricked. I said earlier that the theme of this parasha is that we reap what we sow. Jacob, the deceiver, finds himself up against an even bigger deceiver, his father-in-law. I wonder how much time Jacob spent contemplating how he deceived his father by pretending to be his brother, only now to be deceived into marrying Rachel's sister. Interesting. The crafty Laban agrees to give Jacob Rachel, whom he loves, in marriage in 7 days if he gives him another 7 years of service. What a deal. Jacob agrees to this new contract, and one which Laban will ultimately change 10 times in his own favor. I am reminded of Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, where it says, whoever sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But anyone who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. At this point, Jacob and Laban are still sowing their sinful nature, but praise God that Jacob would soon see the light and over time would become a new man with a new name. Now the Lord blesses Leah, and she has four sons by Jacob, and the fourth one is named Judah, from whom the line of Messiah would come. All this time, Rachel is beside herself because she is unable to conceive, and so she gives her maidservant Bilhah to Jacob, and Bilhah bears two sons. Well, Leah, in turn, gives her maidservant Zilpah to Jacob, so he may have more children from her than Rachel, and Zilpah also bears two sons. Again, Leah has two more boys and one daughter by Jacob. And then God has mercy on Rachel, and she gives birth to a son, Joseph, whose name means he increases, and about whom we will learn more in the weeks to come. After some time, Jacob tells Laban that he wants to return to his own land, his own country. Laban realizes that he has been blessed greatly because of God's favor on Jacob, and he persuades Jacob to remain. Jacob agrees to stay, and they work out an agreement whereby all the choice animals, those that are solid in color, will be Laban's, and all the speckled, spotted, and striped animals will be Jacob's. Now, meanwhile, Jacob has learned a lot from his father-in-law, and he now employs some creative animal husbandry, resulting in the birth of far more speckled, striped, and spotted animals, so that Jacob's flocks grow larger and larger, while Laban's seem to dwindle. In chapter 31, God comes to Jacob, and he tells him to return to the land of his father. This seems to be just in the nick of time, because Laban and his sons have grown a bit resentful towards Jacob, since he is now wealthier than their father. So now Jacob, who once fled from his brother, whom he deceived, now flees from his father-in-law, whom he also deceived. Oh, the tangled web we weave. There is a direct correlation between Jacob's deception of his father, his brother, and his father-in-law to what would happen to him in the years to come when his own sons will deceive him with his favorite son, Joseph. Remember, we reap what we sow. So Jacob grabs Rachel and Leah and tells them that they are leaving at once to go back to the land of Jacob's fathers. As they prepare to leave, Rachel decides she's just going to go back to her father's house and steal some of those idols he has. Remember, Laban is an idol worshiper. And then Jacob and his family leave Haran and reach Gilead, where Jacob pitches his tent. After 3 days, Laban realizes that Jacob has left Haran with his family, his flocks, and Laban rushes after him and catches up to him at Gilead. God comes to Laban before he reaches Jacob, and he warns him not to say anything to Jacob, good or bad. Now, Laban fears Jacob's God, but he does not consider him to be his own, as we can see from the fact that he owned all those idols. It is clear that Jacob knew nothing of Rachel having stolen her father's idols, and after much heated discussion, Laban and Jacob make a contract to leave each other alone. I believe the Lord wanted Jacob to return to his homeland largely because the people of Haran were idol worshippers, and Adonai didn't want the children of the promised line brought up in that unrighteous place. Israel was to be a people set apart, to be holy, to worship and serve Adonai and him alone. So Jacob made peace with his father-in-law, but he is about to be put to the test when his brother Esau comes to meet him, which we will read about in next week's parashah. So what can we learn about this Torah portion? Jacob continually took matters into his own hands, deceiving others and being deceived himself. How much are we like Jacob? We try to make deals with God, saying that if he will do this for us or this thing for us, we will do something for him. We connive to get the things that we want, and we deceive ourselves into believing that the end justifies the means. We are no better than Jacob. But we have the Holy Spirit who constantly nudges us back onto the path of righteousness. We need to listen when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and convicts us of our sin. Hebrews 12:6 says that the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes those whom he accepts as sons. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to remember most today is that we reap what we sow. Sow honestly. Show goodness and bless others, and the Lord will bless you. Sow trickery and deception, and the Lord may make an example of you. Pray that the example that the others see in us leads them to the paths of righteousness, the path of our Messiah, Yeshua. And let's be grateful and praise God that he has so much mercy, grace, and forgiveness for us, his chosen followers, when we return to him time and time again. Amen.